Our Lady, Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're going to begin with today's first talk on Luisa and the Resurrection in the Divine Will, Part 1. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. So everybody's got their program here. So this is going to be very interesting to hear. Number one, we're going to understand, we're going to try to understand, basically, this great gift of the divine will and what Jesus wants us to know about it. Okay? So on volume 6, 11-18-1904, Jesus says this, "Now, when the heaven of my holy humanity ascended into heaven after my holy resurrection, my heaven upon earth was to continue to exist, and it was found in the souls who give a dwelling to my divinity." So here is something that's very, very important for us to understand. Jesus says when he ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he said, "I want to continue my heaven on earth." He says, and this is where it's going to be found. It's going to be found in souls who give a dwelling to my divinity. So, now the saints, they learned how to do the will of God. Okay, that's when we read the lives of the saints, we're so happy. We're so excited to hear their lives. And we have tried to follow their life from the beginning. We want to make sure that we learn the way they have taught their followers. Okay, so the Dominicans and the Franciscans and the Benedictines all have learned from their founder or foundress how to live by doing the will of God. And Jesus says, these souls, he says, continue my heaven on earth. Okay? Now what Jesus is doing through Luisa is giving the church more. You know, when you think, well, how can God give more, but the church has the full deposit of faith? How can God give more? Well, that's God. God is gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He's constantly filling us more and more and more with his divinity. You know, when the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice, he says, "May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity." So, what God is asking, he's asking us to allow him to give us more. You know, when divine mercy happened, this was a great blessing for the church. St. Faustina was a great, great blessing. And what we have learned, especially through St. John Paul II, is how to begin to pray, you know, "Jesus, I trust in you." And again, the whole reason for that was because of what is happening. It was happening in the world today. What's happening in the world today is really horrific. So what God has done is he's given us to trust this divine mercy. "Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you." But God wants more than that. He wants us not only to trust him, but to believe in him and have hope in him and have confidence in him in all situations. So, what has he done with Luisa? He's given Luisa this understanding of the fiat. The fiat is yes. When God said fiat lux, everything came into existence. Let there be light. Everything came into existence. When Our Lady gave her fiat mihi, what happens? The incarnation takes place. Now what Jesus has said, now he's going to wrap everything up, and what is he going to do? He's saying, "Learn the fiat voluntas. May your kingdom come on earth in me as the saints possess it in heaven." This is what God is looking for. This is what God wants.
Huh? Can you get closer to it?
Can you hear?
Can everybody hear?
Sorry. So what Jesus is looking for is he's looking for us to give a fiat. He's looking for us to say yes. Okay. So now what he says, now he's going to show us this. This is the next part. He says, dwelling in the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Now what God is teaching us is how to live in the will of God. This is not doing the will of God like the saints. He's now giving more. Dwelling in the little children of the Most Holy Divine Will, I, God, now for my heaven. And from these children of the little children of the Holy Divine Will, from them also do I now make the order of the virtues contained inside of them shine forth. So what's happening at this point is God is going to give to the world something that has never been seen before. It's the virtues are going to be made seen. Okay? How? In the little children of the Holy Divine Will. See, it's God is now saying, now I'm going to begin again where Adam stopped. So he says this. He says, what honor for the soul to lend a heaven to her God. Can you imagine we're saying to God, you reign in me, I will be your heaven. Now, who was the heaven on earth for Jesus? It was the Blessed Mother. Okay? What God is now saying is, I want you to possess what my mother possessed. Not completely. It's like God wants us to share in divinity. Not completely, because we're human. But to begin to say yes to God in a way that is so astonishing. So again, very, very clearly, what an honor for us to now lend our life as a heaven to our God. Now, how do we learn this? How do we learn how to become like Mary? Let's see, this is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Her triumph is that her children are like her son. Her children possess what she possesses. Not, again, not totally, but as much as we possibly can. And that's why Scripture says, you will receive 30, 60, or 100 fold. God wants us to possess this, but it's up to us. See, so now listen to the next part. But oh, how many deny this heaven to be God. You see, when we worry, when we're fearful, when we're anxious, when we're concerned, when we're complaining, when we're negative, when we're sinning, we are denying God heaven. See, God, heaven's supposed to be reigning in us. I mean, think about it. When we receive Holy Communion, when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and the Holy Sacrifice of advance, what happens at that point? We have Jesus entering into the Holy of Holies of our soul. God is there. And again, that's the second promise to Abraham when we pray the breathe me in the morning. The first promise is we'd be freed from the enemy. And that's what happened when Jesus died on the cross, we were freed from the enemy. The second is we will be free to worship God without fear. That's what happens when we receive Holy Communion. None of us were terrified. Yet, we are receiving the holy, holy, holy Lord God said, oh. And now the third promise to Abraham is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. God alone is holy. God alone is righteous. Yet what he wants to do is he wants to share with us his divinity. He wants us to enter into this divine life of his. And so Jesus says this, and you, would you not want to be my heaven? And from the deepest center of our being, we say, yes, Lord, I want to be your heaven. I want you to dwell in me. I want to be like the Blessed Mother. I want to be like you, Jesus. Now, you see, the saints before, they followed Jesus through a saintly way. Like, again, like Saint Gertrude, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint John Vianney, they listened to these things and wanted to do the will of God. Now what Jesus is saying, now I want you to enter into my life. So we're learning from Jesus because of Elisa, because of what Jesus taught Elisa, how to live this abundant life. How glorious is this? Why are we alive at the worst time that mankind is going through? We're killing children through abortion. You know, 60 million children. I mean, World War II killed 60 million people. We're killing children. We're not even talking about the abort effects. This anti-life movement is very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, Margaret Sanger, you know, she was from the Diocese of Rochester. You know, she promoted euthanasia. She promoted abortion. And even Hitler learned from her how to exterminate. You know, you look at, you know, all that's happening. And Jesus says this. He says, how many deny this heaven to me because they're living in a miserable human will. And you, would you not want to be my heaven on earth? See, when we receive Holy Communion, we are different. We're not like anybody else. And it doesn't mean that we're better. It means Jesus is there. Jesus is reigning. Jesus wants to reign. So what does he tell Louisa? He tells Louisa, I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to beat in your heart beating. I want to breathe in your breathing. I, the Lord God Almighty, want to reign in you. That's what he did for the Blessed Mother. He reigned in her. And she gave her fiat mihi. We give our fiat voluntas. May your kingdom reign in me on earth as the saints possess you in heaven. And then Jesus says, tell me your will. Tell me that you would want to be my heaven. And our response is, yes, Lord. So when you read the writings, respond to Jesus. It's not just, tell me that you would. Well, that was nice. No. Jesus says, I want to hear from you. Do you want to be my heaven? Jesus says. And our response when we read is, yes, Lord, I want what you want. You want to do this. You want to fill me abundantly with your divine life. Yes, I want this. So when you read the volumes, what's very important is that listen to Jesus speak to you. Remember, Scripture says this. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. He will remind you of everything that Jesus has said. This is what the Book of Heaven is all about. This is why back in, 2015, when we were in Corrado, the Cardinal from the Vatican said, we want these books published. And there's many people that don't want this. There's many people that can't believe this. There's many people that doubt this. How sad that is. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies that Jesus is giving to us. So this next part, volume 6, 5-2, 1905. My daughter, suffering contains three types of resurrection. So this is important for us. All of us are suffering. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of us are suffering. So Jesus says, the first suffering makes the soul rise again to praise. A lot of times we go our merry way until something happens, either physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So God knows that he has to wake us up. And again, if you challenge God, God will win. He always does. And what he'll do is he'll put us into suffering. Okay, the first thing is the soul will rise again to grace. Why again? Because when you were baptized, you were completely innocent, completely pure. There was no sin in you. And what Jesus says is, I will bring you back to that point of innocence. I will bring you back to that point of purity. Second, he says, as suffering advances, it gathers the virtues, and the soul rises again to sanctity. Again, in holy baptism, we are You know what they used to do in the early church when they didn't have the Eucharist present? They would hold up a newly baptized baby and bless the people with a newly baptized baby. It's so pure, it's so innocent, it is filled with divine sanctity. And Jesus says, the second thing is not only will you have grace, you will have sanctity. And this is what God is looking for. With your suffering, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or a combination of all of that, God is filling you with grace and filling you with sanctity. He's trying to bring us back. See, we wander away from God with our human will. Our human will is so stubborn. I mean, let's look into a family. When a family has the father and the mother, and they have two different wills, it's crazy. And then you have the children. One different will, another different will, another different will, and the family is in disunity. But when a family is one, there is such peace, there's such harmony. That's what God wants. He wants to bring us back to himself. So he says, the third, as suffering continues, it perfects the virtues, it embellishes them with splendor, it forms a beautiful crown, and the soul crown rises again to glory on earth and to glory in heaven. See, all of us are going to be crowned. That's what Jesus shows the least of us. The crowning is the symbol of royalty. We are children of God. We're children of God. Last night we were talking about somebody brought up being a thief. And I said, that's not true. You are not a thief. Well, I steal. Well, you're not a thief. See, the devil says to us, you're a thief. You steal. You're a liar. You lie. You know, what Jesus says is you are children of God. And what the devil tries to do is tries to pervert and corrupt this, the truth of who we are. We're children of God. And what does that mean? That means we are of royalty. When Adam sinned, he was naked. Why? He lost the clothing of divinity. He lost it. Jesus says, I want to clothe you again with divinity. I want to clothe you with, and even the scapula that we wear as Benedictine oblates of the divine will, it's a sign of what is to come. The scapula is a sign of a heavenly clothing. That's why Our Lady asks us to wear the scapula. It's to say, yes, I believe that I am a child of God. And I believe that one day, as Jesus says here, not only glory on earth, but we will have glory in heaven. Who has glory in heaven? God. We are going to share in divinity. We're going to be reclothed in the divine. Like behind me, we have Our Lady of America. And behind the image of Our Lady of America is Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling. What does this mean, the Divine Indwelling? It's the divine will. That's what's coming to the children of God. So what God has to do is he has to get us ready for this great event that's coming. See, a lot of people think, well, the world's coming to an end. You know, it's world without end, number one. Number two, Jesus says he is going to win. There's only one person that's terrified of what is coming, and that is the devil. His kingdom is coming to an end. So what Jesus is saying to us is, I want you to get ready. So he says this to us. Your suffering has three types of resurrection: to rise again to grace, to rise again to sanctity, and to rise again to glory. Take, you know, write that down. Put it, tape it to your mirror in your bathroom. What will happen is when you wake up in the morning, I ate. Jesus is saying your suffering contains a resurrection. Three times: grace, sanctity, and glory. See, God wants us to begin to see things from his perspective, from his point of view. So he gives us the three powers, our intellect, our memory, and our will. Our intellect, we think humanly. Jesus says, I want you to think divinely. How can we think divinely? Well, the church teaches us The full deposit of faith that's in the church teaches us how to begin to think divinely. In 1968, we were given Humani Vitae. That was Jesus speaking to his church through his vicar. And the church said no. God wanted us to learn what it means to be human. And we said no. This is why we're in such trouble. The church, I would say people in the church failed at their responsibility, their duty of teaching us how to be human. And it's all in Humani Vitae. Because if we had said yes in 1968, if we had said yes to Humani Vitae, we would now be living divine. See, God is preparing us. He's getting us ready for this divine life, this glory that's coming. It's God. Do you think we're supposed to live like this forever? No, he says, get ready for the new era. Get ready for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is to become like her son. That's her triumph, to become like her, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus says this in 1905. Continuing in my usual state, Luis's usual state was suffering. It seemed to me that my adorable Jesus was coming out from within my interior, and with sweet and affable voice he was saying, and why, my daughter, can the soul united to grace do not do in advance everything that death must do to her nature? You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying very clearly, I want you to live heaven. Not after you die. I want you to live now, heaven, before you die. He says this. He says, you have to be united to grace, and therefore you would advance now what death must do to our body later. Okay? When death comes to us, what happens? We have a choice, heaven or hell. It's to enter into paradise with God, enter into the beatific vision, or to wail and grind our teeth eternally. There's only going to be two choices. But he says, begin to live heaven now. What does that mean? No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. See, this is what Jesus is training us to do. If we can begin to live this abundant life now, death is just going to be a closing of our eyes and opening. It's going to be no big deal. And I've seen people die with Jesus, and I've seen people die without Jesus. The people that die with Jesus, it's beautiful. The people that die without Jesus, it's horrific. It's terrible. So Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to live heaven now. He says, don't worry about it. He says, I'm in charge of it. He says it to the apostles. He says, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it does. And then he says, stop worrying. That's our God saying this to us. So Jesus is saying this. United grace, begin to live heaven now. That is, making it die in advance. This is your human will, your human misery. No more worry, no more fear. Make it die. For the love of God, to everything to which it shall have to die. Okay, so no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. We have to say, that's I'm done with it. It's dead to me. So when something comes in, it's not Jesus, I trust in you. It's Jesus, I have confidence in you. I believe in you 100%. You are in charge. Now, the other day when after the election, I had some conversations with people on the phone, and they were furious. They were upset. And I'm going, why are you upset? Well, we didn't get what we wanted. I said, why are you upset? Jesus is in charge. Jesus is going to take care of you. You prayed, and it didn't happen. Jesus is saying, I'm not a better one. See, this is, no matter what happens, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, no matter what happens, Jesus is in charge. So this is what he says. But only those who dwell continuously in my grace come to have this blessed death. Because by living with God, it is easier for them to die to everything that is me. See, when we're on our deathbed, we're going to have to give up our heartbeat. We're going to have to give up our breath. And like I said, I've seen people who were not close to Jesus. They could not let go. They were panicking. They were terrified. Why? They were in charge. Jesus wasn't. See, when Jesus is in charge, it's fear. Lord, I believe. I trust you. I have confidence in you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Master. You are my King. You are my all. See, this is what Jesus is saying. It's easier to die when everything that is fleeting. We belong to Jesus. We belong to God. He purchased us. This is what Scripture tells us. He shed every drop of his blood for our sanctification, for our redemption. And as the soul lives with God and dies to everything else, her very nature comes to anticipate the privileges which must enrich her at the resurrection. You begin to understand how great our God is. He died and rose from the dead. And now he wants to give us his resurrection. But not after we die. He wants to give us our resurrection now. To believe in him, to hope in him, to have confidence in him, is what God is waiting for. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I believe in you. So Jesus says this. This resurrection, that is, the soul will feel spiritualized, the soul will feel deified, the soul will feel incorruptible, in addition to all the divine goods of God in which the soul shall take part, feeling herself the partaker in all the divine privileges of a divine life. That's what it means to be Catholic. A divine life. It began at baptism. Now see, in holy baptism, we enter into God's image. With this gift of the divine will, we enter into God's likeness. Now there's a difference between image and likeness. You look like your parents, you act like your parents, you laugh like your parents, you walk like your parents. You're in their likeness. This is what's going to happen to us. People will see Jesus in us. They will see Mary in us. And it hasn't happened yet because we're still filled with our human misery, our human will. But Jesus says, use your free will to choose. Do you want to continue to live like this? Or do you want to enter into God's likeness? Enter into his divinity. His divine life. The privileges of divine life is what the Catholic Church possesses. And at the end, there's not going to be many religions. There's going to be one religion. It's the universal life that God gave to Adam. Universal life is the Catholic life. That's why when Jesus and Mary came to earth, they began the Catholic faith again. And through holy baptism, we enter into the image. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, get ready. Now the likeness is coming. And I will give you the means to understand this, the how and the why this is going to happen, and it is found in the Book of Heaven. That which I dictated to Luis Picaretta, Jesus says. And as we read this, as we study this, we begin to learn the language of heaven. And because it's a language, we have to learn it. If you hear French the first time, you might not understand it. But if you live in France, live there for a few years, listening and reading and studying you become fluent. This is what we have to do with the Book of Heaven. We have to become fluent with this language that Jesus is teaching us. So Jesus says this, in addition to this, there is the distinction of divine glory, which these souls, these little children of holy divine love, shall have in heaven. They shall be so different from the other saints in heaven, as heaven is different from the earth. How can that be? Well, let's look at the men and women of the Old Testament. None of them received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. None of them were ontologically changed in holy baptism. But they were in heaven. It wasn't time for them to live with the sacraments and sacramentals of the church. And now the new era is beginning. The third era is beginning. The third fiat, which Jesus is offering to us. And it's not that we're better than anybody else. As a matter of fact, we're the bottom of the barrel. It's Jesus is so excited about transforming the face of the earth. John Paul II even said that. He says there's going to be a new and divine way of holiness that's coming. You know, when what did he say? He said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church and the springtime of mankind. This is what's coming. A new era is beginning. And Jesus is asking us to participate in this new era. So he's going to give us the way, the means to operate in this new era. And that's what's found in the Book of Heaven. This is why the Vatican, the green book that's over there, the one that was written by the Vatican, this has never been done before. The Vatican has never wrote about someone who was not beatified and not a saint. That's what they did from Luisa. What's the title of the book from the Vatican? It says, the Son of the Divine Will is Luisa Ferrara. The Son of the Divine Will is Luisa Ferrara. This is astonishing. This is astonishing. God has got such great plans, and all he's asking of us is, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say fiat? So volume 11, 4, 7, 4, 12, 19, 12. My divine will must be the tomb of the soul. But this is so important. And just as nature is consumed in the tomb to the extent of disappearing completely, and by the consumption it shall rise again to a new and more beautiful life, in the same way the soul in the divine will, buried in my divine will, as if inside a tomb, shall die to the sufferings, shall die to her virtues, shall die to her spiritual goods, and shall rise again in everything to divine life, not human life. See, the saints, you read the lives of the saints, and what did they go through? The suffering, their virtues, their spiritual goods, they all had to go. I mean, they did some really nice things. But Jesus says, no. I want you to rise again to divine life. Now, in a more powerful way, Jesus is saying this to us. He says, in addition to this, the privileges of divine life, there is a distinction of glory which the little children of the Holy Divine Will are going to have compared to the saints in heaven. This is what I mean about crown. You know, you look at the saints, and they have a nimbus around their head. They have a halo of light. Jesus says that shows who the saints are. The little children of the Holy Divine Will are going to radiate in divine light, as Jesus did on Mount Tabor, as Mary did as Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. Jesus clothed with the sun. It's what's coming is the light that Adam lost. Adam lived the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. Adam lived the life that no saint ever knew about until Luisa. See, this is something that's going to astonish the whole world. Padre Pio says that. Padre Pio says Luisa is a second sun. Okay, when you see the sun go down in the west, he says basically a new sun is going to rise in the east, and Luisa is coming. There's going to be no more darkness. Who is this Luisa Picaretta? Who is she? Jesus says, Luisa is the little daughter of the divine will. She's the firstborn. And now what he's planning is for all of his children to possess this gift of gifts. And that's what he gave to Luisa. So this is why it's going to be amazing in heaven. We're going to have triple crown. It's the crown of the Father, crown of the Son, crown of the Holy Spirit. This is why he says, basically, they will be so different from the other saints in heaven. It's going to be as different as heaven now is compared to the earth. Vine 11:7-12. My divine will must be the tomb. Okay, sorry. I'm reading on 11:92. My daughter, if souls knew how harmful certain self-reflections are. Okay, now this is important. A lot of people suffer because of going over their life again and again and again and again and again and again. And it's the devil basically saying to them, you're no good. You know, look at that. See, when we go to confession, God forgives and he forgets. And the temporal punishment due to sin, we have to atone for. But when God forgives, he forgets. Now say the sin is a shadow. Jesus is the sun shining on us. With that sun shining on us, we're in the light. But what the devil does is he taps on the shoulder and goes, look at that shadow. Look what you've done. Look what you have done. And we basically turn our back to Jesus, turn our back to the light to look at that shadow. And we go, yes, look what I've done. This is what Jesus is talking about. He says, if souls knew how harmful certain self-reflections are, they bend and lower the souls. They make them keep their faces turned inward. And the more they look at themselves, the more human they become. The more they think, the more they feel their miseries and become miserable. I'm not worthy. No, nobody's worthy. But Jesus frees us. And this is what he says. But if they think only of me, Jesus, and of loving me, Jesus, and being all abandoned in me, Jesus, their souls straighten up, and by keeping their sight on me only, they rise and grow. Jesus. It's always Jesus. Our Lady told Luisa, the secret of living in the divine will is to live on earth as if it was only you and Jesus. What does that mean? You're always in communion with him. You're always in communion with Jesus. You're always talking about Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act, and then your actual acts throughout the day. How do you begin? Lord Jesus, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you in the name of my family, in the name of my friends, my neighbors, in the name of everyone, past, present, and future. So what happens at that point? God hears everyone adoring him, loving him, praising him, and thanking him, and blessing him. We are the ones who are repairing the face of the earth. The prayer of the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle on us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Set forth your spirit, and we will be recreated, and then you will renew the face of the earth through us. This is why we're alive today. We pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is what Jesus taught Luisa. This is what Jesus is teaching us. This gives us happiness. Gives us confidence in him and him alone. So he says very clearly this. He says, he wants us to rise and grow. The more they look at me, the more divine they become. The more they meditate on me, the richer, the stronger, the greater they feel. The union with the divine volition leads the soul toward the of herself in the contemplation of God. So this is what we become nothing. God becomes everything. Our whole life is on Him and Him alone. It's like when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's you and Jesus. The church already teaches this. If you're the only one in church in front of the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. And what do? You adore Him and you love Him and you praise Him and you thank Him and you bless Him and you worship Him. And if all you can say is, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And Jesus says, that's everything to Him. See, Jesus has called us to live at this time. He's called us to bless the whole world through the few faithful. Remember what Our Lady said, the few faithful will save the many. That's what God's got planned. That's why we're here. The whole world is going to be transformed. The whole world is going to possess the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The Our Father is going to be fulfilled because of what Jesus did with Luisa. What Jesus taught Luisa, He's trying to teach us. He is so happy with Luisa. He wants to give us this the same gift that He gave to her. So in Volume 11, 9, 20, 9, 12, at the beginning, in order to render a soul completely mine, Jesus says, to empty the soul of all that is of the senses and place into her all that is celestial and divine, I, God, detach the soul, even from the necessity of food, in such a way that she almost doesn't need it. So, then, the soul rises high, neglecting and ignoring everything, therefore her life is celestial. Luisa did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. And when she was 17 years old, Jesus said to her, go to bed and stay there. She could walk. She wasn't crippled. She obeyed Jesus and went to bed for the rest of her life. Then Jesus said to her, I don't want you to eat anymore. She says, okay. Then He says, I don't want you to drink anymore. And she says, okay. Then He says, she's giving her fiat, okay? That fiat, yes. Then He says, I don't want you to sleep anymore. Jesus says, okay, yeah. I want what you want. Do with me as you wish. Who could have done that? I mean, we have a hard enough time when we get a slip. Ow, 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 ow. And what Jesus is saying to her, I want you to give up everything. Why? I want you to begin to live a life that is celestial. I want you to be the firstborn. I want you, Luisa, to be the newborn. And He says to us, do you want this life? Now, that doesn't mean we have to go through what Luisa went through. She did this. We don't have to do this. But what Jesus is asking of us is, are you willing to say fiat? Again, we're weak. We're very selfish and self-centered. But Jesus says to us, do you want to live a celestial life now? Before you die. And when we say yes, then He says, okay, I'll give this to you. Little by little, Jesus works on us. Little by little, He asks us to give our fiat. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and be back in 15 minutes.